here at Southside after spending a real hard week with Brett down in Oklahoma City. We are, as has been announced and all of us are aware and excited about, we are about to begin our VBS here, going to really begin this morning and going to continue on through Wednesday. So what I'm going to do in the course of our study this morning in the 9 o'clock worship period is I'm going to talk a little bit about seeking and finding God as far as it applies to our work that we're going to be doing this week. And by the way, let me say to those teachers who've been working hard at this and those who've been planning and getting all of this together, I commend you, I thank you, and I thank God for you. I don't have a copy of the book that, well, Sue's got a copy, but she doesn't share it with me. And so what I'm doing is I kind of got a cursory view of it. And it's a really an interesting thing because we're really dealing with character studies during the course of this week, and the idea of seeking and finding God. And some of the characters that we're going to be looking at is Elijah. And when we study about Elijah, you're going to see that Elijah actually sought and found God in a still small voice. And then we're going to see Josiah, and that's the study of my, or at least the theme of my study this morning in the 11 o'clock worship period. Josiah sought and found God in a scroll or in a book that was uncovered in the temple. And then, of course, there's Jehoshaphat. He sought and found God in obedience and in open prayer. And then there's Jonah. Jonah found God in an act of obedience, and I added to that a display of mercy that God extended to the Ninevites. And then, of course, there's Thomas in the New Testament who sought and found God in the resurrected Christ when it was made known to him and he had the opportunity to touch the hands of Jesus and the side where the spear had pierced him. Our study this morning in 11 o'clock is going to be about Josiah. Josiah was a king in Judah. And if you look in 2 Kings 22 and verse 1, he was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Judah, the southern kingdom. But in order to appreciate that, in order to really, I think, and I wanted to get a lot of preliminaries out, we need to kind of have a review of the history of Judah. Now, the history of Judah is very, very interesting. And when I say Judah, I'm talking about the southern kingdom, and we'll get into that in the course of our study this morning. But let's go all the way back. Let's go back to the time that we find in the book of Genesis when Joseph was sold into Midianite slavery. He ended up in Egypt. And of course, then his family comes down, and I'm just kind of giving a Cliff Note version of all of this. His family comes down, the family of Jacob comes down, and they settle in the land of Goshen. And they're being blessed by the Egyptians because of Joseph. And now, later on, a new king arises in Egypt who doesn't respect the covenant or the agreement that was made with Joseph, and he began to enslave the people. And they were in bondage for some 400 years in Egyptian captivity. And then when God delivers them at the hand of Moses and they go out, they go to Mount Sinai, and in Exodus chapter 19, we find that God is going to make of them a great nation in fulfillment of the promises that he had made to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12. And so he gives them, not only makes them a great nation, he gives them the law of Moses and the book of covenant. And the people begin to serve God as a nation once they enter into the promised land under the leadership of Joshua. But now, let's fast forward just a little bit, because the people did not remain loyal to God. They were served or overseen or ruled by a group of judges over a period of time. And then after a period of time, they decided, at the judgeship of Samuel, they decided that they wanted to be a nation like all the other nations, and they wanted to have a king. And so Samuel and God then gives them a king based upon their request. Saul, the son of Kish, became from the tribe of Benjamin, became the nation's first king. He looked like a king. He strutted like a king. He had all of the outward features of a king, and he began fairly well, but it soon went south. He reigned for 40 years and basically became a disappointment to God. Then after Saul, David became king. David, the son of Jesse, who was from the tribe of Judah, became the nation's second king. And he too ruled for a total of 40 years. And I often tell people, if you are involved in a Bible trivia and it is a number that is the answer to that, 40 is a safe number. Because it's a lot of things happen in 40 days and 40 years and so forth and so on. And that's the way it is with the kings. Then after David, Solomon, his son, the son of Bathsheba, became also king. He became the nation's third king, and that's revealed to us in 1 Kings chapter 2. Now, Solomon ruled also for 40 years. And I want us to stop and just consider a little bit about the reign of Solomon, because that's going to play into what it is that we're talking about when it comes to Josiah. When you think about the reign of Solomon, what you realize is that he had a legacy, and his legacy was both good and bad. When you look at his 40-year reign, some of the things that come to mind as far as his legacy is concerned is his unparalleled wisdom. You remember when God asked him what he could do for Solomon, Solomon asked him that he would be granted wisdom so that he would know how to shepherd the people of God. And so God blessed him with a great deal of wisdom. And due to that wisdom, he wrote over 3,000 proverbs and over 1,000 songs. He also had many wives and concubines. And the wives of Solomon began to turn his heart away from God. And he began to accept and institute some idolatrous practices. Now remember, God said, and we'll talk a little bit more about this at 11 o'clock. God told the people, as long as you're faithful to me, you will remain in this land forever. But if you begin to employ ideas and worship from the pagans around you, I'm going to snatch you off this land. Well, under Solomon, they began to be involved in idolatry, and he was very much, because of his wives, devoted to idolatry. He had vast riches. In other words, like the Queen of Sheba said, the half has not been told of all that he had. And of course, he, not David, was allowed to build the temple. Now, when Solomon died, he left the nation a heavy debt. And the people were being severely taxed. And so this was something that began to grate on the people of Israel. The heavy taxation and the national debt that they had incurred. Now, upon the death of Solomon, his son, Rehoboam, became king. Now, you read about this in 1 Kings chapter 12. But now, what we need to think about when we think about Rehoboam here, We need to think about that he, when he was at Shechem and he was about to be coronated king, he counseled with the people. You know, what can I do? And so the older people, the older advisors of Solomon and the older advisors now of Rehoboam said the thing that you need to do is lower the taxation rate. You need to also remove some of the heavy labor laws that your father had instituted. And then he turns to the younger advisors and they say just the opposite. They say increase the labor laws and increase the tax burden. And so he listened to the younger advisors. And as a result of that, and the 12 tribes here, as a result of his insistence on keeping the policies of his father and then even making those policies more burdensome, the northern 10 tribes revolted, and they pulled off, and that left Rehoboam only king of the southern 2 tribes, the tribes of Judah and the tribes of Benjamin. Now, there may have been some half-tribe here or there that was a little bit loyal to him as well. But basically, it was the southern kingdom composed of Judah and Benjamin. And Rehoboam continued the idolatrous practices of his father. He was not a good king. Now, when the kingdom divided, let's take a look at Solomon's kingdom when he died. Solomon's kingdom was a united kingdom from the Euphrates River all the way down to Egypt. He had a united kingdom here. Now, when the northern tribes revolted, that resulted in the southern kingdom that was ruled by Rehoboam and the northern kingdom that was ruled by Jeroboam the First. Now, these two kingdoms became rival kingdoms. Sometimes they would unite, but more often than not, they were rival kingdoms. Now, God forbid them to actually really have a war with each other, but they were pretty antagonistic sometimes one to another. Now, here's what I want us to think about. When we think about the kings of the divided kingdom, I have a listing here on the screen. The list on the right would be the kings of Israel. Israel was known as the northern kingdom. The capital of Israel was Samaria. The places of worship was in the north Dan and in the south Bethel. And we have heard about that throughout our study of Old Testament history. But if you notice, their kings began with Jeroboam the First and go all the way down to Hoshea. Now, one thing you need to understand about the kings of Israel: there were no good kings in Israel. They all were in rebellion to God. They all were involved in idolatry. And Hoshea, who was, Pekah and Hoshea, well, when it came down to the end of Israel, here is what God said. God said of Israel, you know, I'm done with you. 2 Kings 17 and verse 18, therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel, and he removed them from his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah alone. And this was in about 722 B.C., that the northern kingdom then was removed from the sight of God. Now, by the way, this is the reason why you hear people talking about the lost 10 tribes of Israel. That is the northern kingdom. They were completely removed by God. That left only the southern kingdom. Now, the southern kingdom had a number of kings as well who were involved in idolatry. Well, one of the reasons that the southern kingdom was able to exist for another 115 to 120 years is because they had some good kings. Now, there were about 8 good kings in Israel. Asa was a good king. Jehoshaphat, that we'll study during the course of the VBS. Joash, Amaziah, Azariah, Jotham, Hezekiah was a good king. But then that brings us down to Josiah. Now, I want you to notice what God says about Josiah. God said of Josiah, now before him there was no king like him. That would include good King Hezekiah, Asa, Jehoshaphat. There was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his might. I can't read that without thinking about what our Lord said. Was the greatest commandment to love the Lord with all your strength, with all your mind, with all your soul. And it seems like that Josiah, even before the Lord uttered that as the greatest commandment, was a man who was willing to do that. He turned to the Lord with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his might, according to the law of Moses, and said there was none like him before, and now we're seeing that there's not going to be any like him afterward. Because the kings after Josiah, who were his descendants, were not good kings. As a matter of fact, many of those kings that ruled after him were just simply puppet kings of Assyria, of Babylon. And that, as a matter of fact, As a matter of fact, Zedekiah was appointed by Babylon as a king, not simply because of his lineage. So, this is who we're going to be looking at in our 11 o'clock worship period, King Josiah. But let's think about some things about that. Remember, there was no king like him. I want us to go back in our memory bank here. I want us to go back, and I mentioned, you remember what happened with the divided kingdom when Jeroboam became ruler of the northern kingdom of Israel. You remember he instituted altars at Bethel and Dan, and there was Jeroboam's altar. Let's think about that just a little bit, because you remember in 1 Kings chapter 13, a prophet comes to talk to him. And here's what the prophet tells him. He cried out against the altar, that's the altar of Jeroboam, by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child. Now this was 360 years before the birth of Josiah. Behold, a child, Josiah by name, will be born to the house of David, and on you, that he's, the prophecy is against the altar, on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you. Now this was a prophecy that God made concerning Josiah more than three centuries before he was born. Now, as we go over to 2 Chronicles 34 that we're going to spend some time studying at 11 o'clock, some of the reforms of Josiah were these. They broke down the altars of the Baals in his presence, and the incense altars which were above them he cut down, and the wooden images, the carved images, and the mold images he broke in pieces and made dust of them, and scattered it on the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He also burned the bones of the priests on their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. But all of this was foretold by God, and all of this was prophesied, and it came to pass in the days of the reign of young Josiah that God said would happen. Now, what I want to do here is take just a moment and give us a synopsis of after the fall of Israel in 722. Let's turn our attention now to Judah. Israel has fallen, and now Judah is the only one, the only kingdom that is left. Well, during the fall of Israel, Judah was ruled by a king by the name of Ahaz. Now, you can read about Ahaz in, of course, the book of Kings and the book of Chronicles. But Ahaz ruled as a bad king. He openly rejected the worship of God. He also adopted the idolatrous practices that Israel had before they were taken, before they were destroyed by Assyria. And he also closed the temple. He placed pagan altars all over Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem was a place where the name of God was always to be extolled. But now what Ahaz was doing was building altars all over the city of Jerusalem and instituting immoral rites, the rites of the Canaanites, which would have also included human sacrifices taking place in the city of Jerusalem. He bowed down before the Assyrian king, Tiglath-Pileser. And here's what he said, not to God, but here's what he said to this king, I am your servant and your son. He was nothing but a vassal king, loyal to Assyria. He was a disgrace to the nation and a disappointment to God. After him, his son Hezekiah was a good king. He was a very good king. He instituted many religious reforms. He tried to undo some of the things that his father had done. He was a man of piety. He was a man who was devoted to God, and he was a successful leader and king in Israel. Some of his reforms, including destroying the altars of foreign gods that his dad had erected, reopened the temple, cleansed the temple, and then began to order proper worship in Judah. He commissioned the tunnel from the Virgin Springs under the east side of the city of David. That's a parcel of Jerusalem known as the city of David. And to the east side of the city of David, to the Pool of Siloam. That tunnel is 1,780 feet long and it's 6 feet high. Not in all places, because Sue and I went through it, let me tell you that. But it's cut through solid rock. And then, of course, Hezekiah trusted God when he was threatened by Sennacherib. Remember, he goes into the temple, he lays that letter of threat out. God, it's in your hands. Well, after Hezekiah, we're introduced to his son Manasseh. Manasseh probably, I can't say probably, without a doubt, was the worst king and the most wicked king in Judah. He immediately abandoned the practices of his father. And by the way, doesn't this tell us something about offspring? Here's a good man, and then he has a son that's absolutely, totally wicked, at least early on. He went completely over to idolatry. In Jerusalem, he again set up the shrines to Baal and Astarte and Moloch and these other heathen gods. Did just exactly what some of the things that was done with Ahaz. But now I want you to notice what 2 Kings 21 and verse 16 says. Moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. That's with blood. Besides his sin, by which he made Judah sin in doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, what we need to keep in mind here is that the reason that Judah eventually were taken into captivity by the Babylonians was because, it sort of is digressing all along, but when it comes to Manasseh, he was the one that ended Judah. God never ever looked at Judah again with the possibility of them being extended. He looked at them and said, I'm done. Now, Josiah had something to do with postponing that, as we'll see. But late in his life, Manasseh turned away. You take a captive, come back. And he turned from his idolatry. But I'm going to tell you something. That didn't change Judah. Not at all. He turned away from his idolatrous ways. He became very devoted to God, but Judah did not at that time. After Manasseh, his son Amon began to reign. By the way, Manasseh would have been Josiah's grandfather, and Amon would be Josiah's father. After the death of Manasseh, Amon became king. By the way, he had the name of an Egyptian god. And he was 22 years old when he became king. And, I think about having the name of an Egyptian god, and I wonder, would that be like a Christian naming his son Buddha or naming his son Muhammad? It just doesn't compute. But he had the name of an Egyptian god. He became king. And he instituted the same policies that his father Manasseh had that early in Manasseh's reign. And then he set out to undo all of the good reforms that Manasseh tried to institute late in his life, but it didn't work. Not at all. 2 Chronicles 33 and verse 23 said, he did not humble himself before the Lord as his father Manasseh had humbled himself. Now that's late in Manasseh's reign. But Amon trespassed more and more. So vile and so wicked and so ungodly was Amon that his own servants killed him. They rose up and murdered him just after 2 years of his reign in Jerusalem. That then brought Josiah to the throne. Remember, there was no king like him. He became king when he was 8 years of age. We'll talk about that in the 11 o'clock period. At an early age, he did what was right in the sight of God. He had a character that was developed not by his father, not by his mother, not by his grandfather, but he had certain advisors as a child. Shalom would have been one of his advisors. Had a lot of advisors there in Jerusalem, and they were the ones probably who were tutoring him because he didn't get his faith from his father. His father was an immoral, ungodly man, as well as his grandfather. His devotion to God continued all through his life. He died at 39 years old, but he was the son of prophecy, you remember, that was given to Jeroboam. What happened was, in 2 Chronicles 35, verses 20 through 27, he made a bad decision. I got to tell you, he's a good guy, the best king that Judah had. God says this, not J.R., but he made a serious error in judgment. Pharaoh Necho of Egypt was marching to do battle at God's request. And he had to come across the land that was Josiah ruled. And Josiah went out to oppose him. And Pharaoh Necho said, "Don't do this. I don't have a problem with you. Don't do this. Don't come up against me." And Josiah did anyway. He disguised himself, went to battle, he was struck by archers, and he died at 39 years old. But prior to that, he had a good reign. He reigned for 31 years in Judah. 16 years old, he began to seek God and decided that there was going to be some changes that were happening in Judah. He began a policy of purging the nation of all of its idolatrous past. Remember, this is in fulfillment of the prophecies that God had given. He also sought to annex into Judah certain provinces that had belonged to the northern kingdom of Israel. These were cities that were held by Assyria, but he was able to annex them. His reforms took off after they discovered the book of the law of God in the temple during a time of renovation. He looked at this when the book of the law was read to him in the temple, or that was found in the temple. Bible says he tore his clothes. And the reason that he did this is he began to realize, you know what? God is going to bring judgment on us because our fathers have not kept the words of the law of Moses or the laws of God written by Moses. God is going to destroy us. And this troubled him greatly. And he listened to Huldah, the prophetess. She explained to Josiah, yeah, God is going to judge Judah, but God is going to let you die in peace. You'll not see what happens to Judah. You won't see that. God's going to let you die in peace. And by the way, if it hadn't been for Josiah, the southern kingdom would have fallen much sooner. Josiah and his reforms allowed the southern kingdom to exist for at least one generation. Now, some of his religious reforms were this, and I've taken these out of 2 Kings 23. That's a parallel to 2 Chronicles 34 and 35. All the vessels were taken and burned. He removed the pagan priests that had been appointed by Manasseh and Ammon, his dad and granddad. He removed the image, the idol of Asherah from the temple that was set up in the temple of God. And he burned it and spread the ashes on the graves of the common people. He tore down the houses of the Sodomites. That would have been homosexual priests. It was part of their worship. And he tore these down, and he defiled all the high places. And the high places are where people would go and worship pagans, idols. They were high places, the groves. And he tore all of that down. They were illegitimate, had no authority. Topheth he defiled. That's within the valley of Hinnom. And that's where children, they were actually involved in child sacrifices. He destroyed a monument of horses and chariots that had been dedicated to the sun god. He broke down and ground to dust unauthorized altars and cast that dust into the brook Kidron. Again, all of this was in fulfillment of the prophecies that had been given. He destroyed all the pagan shrines that honored the gods of the Sidonians, Moabites, and Ammonites that had been built by Solomon. He removed the altar that Jeroboam had built at Bethel and destroyed the high places, burned the bones of those who had practiced idolatry. That fulfilled the prophecy exactly of 1 Kings chapter 13. He destroyed all the shrines and high places in Israel, Samaria, killed the priests, burned the remains on the altars that they had erected, removed those who practiced witchcraft, and commanded the people to keep the Passover as was written in the book of the law of God. But let me tell you something. Just 3 short years after Josiah died, Judah was carried into captivity. Now, there were 3 deportations that occurred. There was one in 606, the last one was in 586 or 587. But the first deportation would have taken Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into Babylonian captivity. The second deportation would have taken Ezekiel into Babylonian captivity. And in the 3rd deportation was the complete destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. 3 short years after he died, this happened. Look what God said. And even though he was a good king, and even though he instituted all of these wonderful reforms to bring the people back to God, one of the takeaways from this is, listen very carefully to me. You can make outward changes, but when you don't make changes that are internal, they are empty. Now, he was able to change the hearts, or at least the practices, rather, of the people in Israel or in Judah, but he couldn't change their hearts. God said, nevertheless, the Lord did not turn from the fierceness of his great wrath with which his anger was aroused against Judah because of all the provocations with which Manasseh had provoked him. And the Lord said, I will also remove Judah from my sight as I have removed Israel, and will cast off the city Jerusalem which I have chosen, and the house of which I said, my name shall be there. He's talking about the temple. So that kind of gives us just a brief synopsis. And so when we talk about Josiah in the 11 o'clock worship, these are some of the things that we need to remember from the background of Israel, from the time that they become a great nation to the time that God destroyed both Israel and Judah. Let's close with a word of prayer. And then we will begin our Bible study period in just a matter of moments. Would you join with me?